Good evening and welcome to Shattered Lives, everyone, a lively, educational, and issues-driven radio show designed to tell the other side of the story, to focus on and humanize the victim, to enlighten, to shine the spotlight on stellar organizations and service providers, and to assist those who walk the path with us. We will always remain true to our mission, providing a national voice for people and organizations in our quest to make a difference. And so this is Donna R. Gore, a.k.a. Lady Justice, your host, coming to you from Connecticut, along with my co-host, NPR manager Delilah Jones, president of Imagine Publicity in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. So, Delilah, welcome. How are you this evening?
Doing great. So happy to have Marilyn and her kids back on. It'd be a fast-action, fast-paced show. So really happy to have her back.
Yes, yes, we certainly are. I think it was a highly popular show and very impactful. And I think maybe for those people who didn't have the benefit of listening to the first one, we can say please do go to the archives for September 2012, and they can listen to that. But let me just introduce her very briefly, a little bit of her background, and then she's going to share the stage with as many as 9 students, and we have a very special student calling in from Columbia University. Marilyn Gambrell is the founder of No More Victims, a program for children of incarcerated parents, originated in Smalley High School in the state of Texas, and the inception of the organization was in the year 2000, and she's written a number of books. She's done, she's saved thousands of children's lives from the morass of just horrible circumstances and made them into fine individuals. She is their surrogate mom, and her love and her compassion knows no bounds. She is out there always rooting for them, always helping them, and her program is very much in demand with new schools, I understand. So, Marilyn, welcome to you and your kids again. We're so happy to have you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with y'all again.
Well, good. Well, good. Glad I hear we have a big audience around the phone this evening. Can you tell us a little bit about can you give us just a little bit of a recap on No More Victims? Like maybe what you've done since we chatted back in September, and then we'll do some introductions and then we'll get the ball rolling.
Yes, we're real excited to share that we're in 5 high schools now in Houston, Texas.
Wow.
We had last year had our largest group of graduates in our history. We had 65 graduates. 2 were college and the rest were high school. We have many that's in the military now and in college, and many are graduating from college now and working on master's. And we have Devon Wade, who is on the line as well. He is one of our amazing young adults, young males now, who went through Smalley High School when we first started the program. Now graduated from LSU with honors, the first African-American to win the Truman Scholarship at LSU, and now is working on his doctorate at Columbia University.
Oh, that is absolutely fabulous. And that's such a good thing to brag about and to cry about. I know. So, should we bring him in now, Devon?
Yes, Devon.
Hey, how y'all doing?
We're doing great. It's so wonderful to have you on the air. Thank you so much for joining us. And I remember hearing you at the Melanie Rieger Conference a few years ago, and I understand that was your first speaking engagement, and since then there's nowhere to go but up. Isn't that right?
Yes, that's true. And I'm pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, it's our pleasure. Now, Devon, in case people don't know, would you mind giving people our national and international audience at times a sense of what your life was like before you met Marilyn Gambrell?
Well, I grew up with both of my parents, my mother and father, who were in prison. My grandmother raised me, my twin, and my younger brothers from birth. And I think it was a bit difficult to put into words then, but some of the things that we experienced from having like that loss of not having our mother and father around was that it was a bit of an emotional stress.
Sure.
I think that the kind of defining thing of like growing up in as a child with a parent incarcerated is like the experience of having to visit the jail cells and or the prisons and to see this person who is your mother and not, you know, understand why it was that she couldn't come home with you. And to really grow up, you know, parents send letters saying, I'm going to come home, and, like, they really give you this idea of what, like, life would be like when they come home. And you idealize that for so long, and it never really comes to fruition because, like, by the time my parents really came out, I was grown. So I didn't really get the opportunity to have that type of childhood with my mother and father, and I think that was a very stressful part of, like, having parents incarcerated growing up.
Oh, no doubt. So your grandparents, your grandmother was a big influence on you prior to that?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And what gave you the impetus to become associated with No More Victims? And just to let people know, what is your affiliation with Columbus? Well, Marilyn said that you're there because you're working on three different majors. Can you tell us a little bit about your life now?
Okay. Do you want me to answer the first question or
sure.
The Columbus?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. So, because there's a stigma to having a parent incarcerated, it's just something that you don't really talk about. And because it's made to seem, I think growing up as a child, it's not that someone says that it's a stigma, but you just know not to talk about it.
Right.
You fear that people could make fun of you and those type of things. So it's just something that you never really tell anyone. And I think for me, that was the case. I never told anyone that I had parents who had been incarcerated. If people asked me questions that, you know, about like where my parents were, I would just kind of say something else. I would, or just avoid the questions in general.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what No More Victims did, you know, after, well, what made me so comfortable and really ready to join the organization was the fact that this was an organization of children who, you know, shared the same experiences or similar experiences to mine, and I felt like that they would not judge me based on the fact that I had parents incarcerated. So it was a safe space for me to really, you know, tell or let this information out. And so I think that was kind of key motivators for me to really that made me comfortable with joining No More Victims. And Ms. Gambrell, she always would talk to me, and she talked to me a bit before I actually decided to join. So,
Well, I imagine she kind of served as, you know, as a surrogate mother, as a you know, a guidance counselor, so to speak, and I'm sure it lended a lot for your personal growth.
Yeah, it did. I think I wouldn't be where I'm at today had it not been for Ms. Gambrell telling me that I had a voice. And, again, it wasn't something that I talked about. It wasn't even a career path that I was thinking of going on. But through No More Victims and through Ms. Gambrell putting me in certain spaces that, you know, forced me to say, you know, that forced me to, you know, come to terms with myself and tell me that I had a voice and that my story was worth telling, and, you know, making me believe that through putting me in environments to talk about that and to say those things really changed, you know, what I thought that I could do as a human being and giving back.
Right.
And that's why I'm on the trajectory that I am on today.
Well, very powerful. Can you give us a little snapshot of what a typical day might be for you now at Columbia? What kind of things are you involved with?
So I'm doing my doctorate in sociology, and I study race, crime, education, and urban space, and adolescence. And so I'm always reading in those areas, reading books. Reading and writing a lot is pretty much my whole day at the office. My special research and what I'm hoping my dissertation will explore is how do children with parents incarcerated navigate that stigma? And how does that perception or having a parent incarcerated impact perceptions of children who have parents incarcerated?
Wow. Now I don't know, but either you or Marilyn has that. Is that a topic of research that is relatively new?
It is. Like a lot of the research have looked around parental incarceration has let us know about like the impact to education, the impact to having a familiar loss, the economic impact. But it doesn't really talk about like from the children's experience, what is it like to have that type of stigmatized mark that is passed from your parent to you?
And to grow up in that environment, you mean? They don't talk about that aspect, the aftermath.
Right, right. And so much more research is now kind of tackling the kind of aspect of like the collateral impacts of incarceration. And so that's
right.
Where my research fits in.
Well, it sounds fascinating, and I'm sure going to be a fan and try to read whatever it is that you write in the future. And I hope that you can stay with us for the full hour and be sure to contribute. But while the discussion continues on, but just lastly, before we get to some other people, is there a particular message, Devon, that you would like to impart to our audience of many different types of people from all walks of life and interests? What is it that you would like people to know that maybe they don't know about people in your former situation?
I think that it's important to look at when we're dealing with like incarceration, oftentimes we think about the kind of person who is being incarcerated as a criminal, and you know there's so much of a negative attitude towards those who have been incarcerated that all of the energy and focus goes into punishing them, and we don't necessarily think about what happens to those around them. And if we really want to make a difference and really understand the impact of you know rehabilitation that we
yep.
say our system is to focus on, then we need to understand that just by punishing people and stigmatizing them doesn't necessarily correct the things that that we want them to correct. And it also has an impact for not just their criminal, but their family, their environment, their neighborhoods, their community, and as well for taxpayers, you know, who are paying taxes to do these things, and we have these type of recidivism rates. So, again,
yeah.
I think it's just about, like, looking beyond just being punitive in those people and thinking about the kind of collateral consequences of the kind of actions and stigmatization of people that we do.
Right. Well, to me, it sounds like you're describing the domino effect kind of, you know, with this whole matter of incarcerated people. So, yes, I couldn't agree with you more, and very well said, Devon. Marilyn, can you kind of jump in here and maybe want to introduce some of the other students or start off with a topic that we can all engage in?
Absolutely. And Devon, you are awesome. I love you, son.
Thank you.
Yes, you are wonderful.
Yes.
And y'all, just wait. This one you're going to hear for years to come. He's going to change the world. So we're all of our other children. They absolutely love Devon, and he's a wonderful role model for our children. Each child is going to introduce themselves and tell you a little bit about their lives and why No More Victims is so important to them and to their school system, okay?
That's fine.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Delisa. I'm 16 years old.
Yep.
And
it's a pleasure to have you. I'm sorry, go ahead. I said it's a pleasure to have you. Can you repeat what you were about to say?
I was going to say that when I was 3, my dad, he died in jail.
Oh, dear. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and so, like, my mom, most of my life, my mom has been an alcoholic, and it's just been really hard.
My goodness. Now, how did you cope with that? Who was positive in your environment, Delisa?
At the moment, no one was positive in my environment, and so, like, to cope with all the pain that I went through, like, I was 13, I started to cut myself.
Uh-huh. Wow. And I can't imagine that level of pain that someone would do that. So what stopped the cycle of you doing self-destructive things like that?
My friend Amber had told me about No More Victims, and she told me what it was about. So I was like, well, maybe I should try this. So I went there one day, I got sworn in, and ever since it's just changed my life. And I thank God every day for Ms. Gambrill.
Well, that's wonderful. And can you tell us, do you have a particular goal that you're focused on right now?
Can you hear that?
Do you have a goal that you're focused on right now?
Yes. My goal is to accomplish my first chapter book that I'm writing based on my events in life.
I see. So you're a budding writer. That's wonderful. Well, I'm so proud of you, and I'm proud that you're on the show. And please be sure to make some other contribution. Who else is there that we can talk to?
Hi.
Hi.
Well, hello.
Hi, this is Donna. Lady Justice, who's this?
Hi,
well, this
is Danielle.
I'm 18. You're 18? Okay.
I'm a senior in high school.
Say that again, please.
I'm 18. I'm a senior in high school right now.
Okay. And tell us a little more about yourself or the program. What is it that you like best?
Well, I like best that I have a family that I can just talk to about anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's going on in my life.
Right.
My dad was incarcerated when I was 7. And
wow, very young.
He got out and he started a new family and had other kids, and he didn't want me.
Oh, my goodness. How hurtful. And how did you deal with that?
I was lucky because I had my uncle, who was kind of like a father figure to me.
Yeah.
But it still hurt. I still have trust issues because of that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I joined No More Victims. She came to one of my English classes, and she told us about the program. And I don't know why, but I had a feeling that I needed to be a part of it.
Right. Very good. You had this intuition going, huh, that you could make a contribution?
Can you say that again? I couldn't hear what you said.
You had an intuition that you could make a contribution.
Yes, and now I'm the president of my school, one of the 5 that is in Houston. So, you're very excited.
Wow, that's tremendous. Very, very good. That's going to look excellent on your resume. You know that? Very, very good. I'm very glad that you joined us, and I'm sure we're going to ask you some other questions, but who else is there that you'd like to pass the phone to and introduce?
Hi, my name is Crystal Jordan.
Hi, Crystal. Thank you for coming on Shattered Lives.
Hi. Well, I've never been away from my father, and my dad is incarceration as of now. My dad has been incarceration for 9 months now, and mm-hmm. it hurts me dearly because I never spent 2 hours away from my father.
Oh, my goodness. So this is a brand-new experience. So how is No More Victims assisting you in this situation right now?
No More Victims is assisting. The best part of it is that I can come to Miss Gabrielle, and I can scream and just scream and holler, and she's just going to be there for me no matter what.
Yeah.
Wow.
Go ahead.
Miss Gabrielle is like another father to me, and the rise with my daddy is the same rise I take with Miss Gabrielle.
Mm-hmm. Are you able to communicate with your dad?
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm sure that helps some too, doesn't it?
Yes, ma'am.
Very good. Well, we're so glad to have you here, and I hope you'll continue to join in the discussion. Who's another friend that you can introduce to us?
Hi, I'm Alexandria.
Hi, Alexandria. Welcome. How are you today?
Well, I'm good.
Why are you great? Tell us about your experience with Marilyn and No More Victims.
I haven't been in it for a long time, but they're really close to me. Cause, like, I've been bullied. I have been bullied this difficult, and I, like, never had somebody to talk to. And now I got this big family that cares about me and everything. It's good to have somebody to talk to instead of, like, cutting yourself or doing drugs and all that. It's good. You just get to live.
Well, it sounds like you've come a long way. Now, you said you kind of said that you, like, graduated from the program. Is that right?
No?
Okay. You're still involved with them, but do you live in another area and you don't see them as much?
I haven't been up in it that long.
Oh, okay. You haven't been in it that long. But it sounds like a very positive experience, huh?
It is. It's real good.
So do you have other friends that you would recommend it for?
Yes, I have a lot of friends. I mean, that's why I joined, because they noticed that I've been getting bullied, like, every day at school. And they talk to me, and I'm a minute.
Wow. That must make your life hell on a daily basis. So it's so important to have that support system. Well, we're so glad that you joined us here. Is there another person there that would like to introduce themselves?
Hi, my name's Stephen.
Stephen, hi, welcome.
Hi.
Tell us something about your experience.
Well, what I experienced, I was at a young age. I was 8, and I have been sexually assaulted by my cousin.
By your cousin, your older cousin?
Yes. And
wow.
It's not a female, but it was a male type.
Oh, dear. I'm so sorry. That must have been awful, so tormenting. So what did you get special help from, like a sexual assault crisis center?
No, I never had nothing that well, because when I first experienced it, I didn't know what to do. I was at a young age, and I was at a disadvantage. And he
right.
was, like, older than me.
How old were you when this first occurred?
I was, like, 8 years old, and he was, like, 12 or 13 when I was young.
I see. Wow. So what happened from the time you were 8 up until now? What brought you to No More Victims?
Well, what brought me to No More Victims was my friend Alicia and Amber. I didn't know about it then, like last year, because it was like hard for me trying to tell somebody, because no one around the school, if I tell the wrong person, it might have got out. So I
mm-hmm.
asked. I asked Alicia and Amber, can I talk to somebody about anything? And they told me, come join No More Victims. I joined during Thursday, and I told and I got sworn in that Thursday by Ms. Gambrielle. And mm-hmm. I have been, this is my first time trying to express myself, and that's the first thing that's been happening to me in my life, and I couldn't have nobody to talk to, but now since I'm in No More Victims, I can.
And is this the first time that you're talking publicly about it?
No. It happened when I was at home, and my dad caught us doing it one time.
Uh-huh. Right.
And he pulled me aside and told me never do it again. And he rescued me from that difficult moment.
Wow. Well, that's good. Can you just tell us a little bit about how important it is to feel safe? And was there anything in particular that a moment when you knew, okay, I feel safe and I feel comfortable and I don't have to be treated like this anymore?
The only place I feel safe is No More Victims. Outside that group, I can't even express myself to nobody unless it's people inside that group I can talk to. And outside No More Victims, I can't say nothing unless it's my best friend or anybody else, because I can't tell my family about anything.
Are you on good terms with your family or no?
Yeah, I'm in good terms with my family. I don't have no hard feelings with them, but I have been tortured by them most of the time because they've been hurting me with words that happened that time I was young.
Oh my goodness! Well, you know, I have to compliment you. You are an excellent speaker, and you're really getting your points across very well. And I'm very proud of you for doing this, and for taking the risk and being courageous to come on this program, because this is going to potentially help a lot of other people. So I thank you so very much for your comments, and continue to join the discussion with us. Is there somebody else next to you that would like to take their turn?
Yes.
Hello, I'm Chanel.
Chanel? Hi, Chanel. How are you?
I'm fine.
Well, good. Well, welcome to our show. What would you like to share with us about your experience?
The reason I joined No More Victims was to have a place where I can talk to, people that I could talk to where I know they could always be there for me, because me and my mom don't have a type of relationship where we could talk about anything.
I see. Yeah, that's very important to have a special person like that. Can you tell us, just because we're not sure, how often do you get together, either as a group or individually, with other people from No More Victims? So can you explain what the process is in terms of how often you are together?
We are together every day.
Every day?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
We're in class.
You're in class together. And you also do recreational things, and you do things in the community, don't you?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, can you give us an example of some of the activities?
We give out diapers to people who need them, food. We go to events and speak about our problems and stuff like that.
Oh, wow. Now, is this part of a special, like, internship that you do as part of your high school experience?
No, ma'am. This is a part of our family. We do it because we want to.
You just do it. Okay, this is in addition to your studies and everything else that you do. Do you have a favorite charity that you enjoy working on?
No More Victims.
Well, yeah, but in terms of helping other people, do you like helping, the children or the elderly or what?
The veterans and children.
The veterans. Okay, you do a project with them too?
We take cakes and stuff to them.
Oh, wonderful. So do you go to like a VA hospital or center where they're in rehabilitation?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, that is so needed across the country, and I have to applaud you, because I think, you know, that's another group of people sometimes that we think of as throwaway people, and it's so unfair because there's so much more that they can give. So thank you so much for joining us. Is there somebody else there that would like to talk to me?
Yes, hold on 1 second.
Okay.
I'm Jacob, and I'm 16 years old.
Hi, Jacob. How are you?
I'm good right now.
You're good right now. But you know what? I just have a feeling that there's been a lot of times in your life when you haven't felt so good, right?
Yeah, a lot. Like almost my whole life.
Almost your whole life. Can you give us a little picture of what your life was early and what it is now?
Before when I was younger, I would always get physically abused by my stepdad, and
right.
He would just constantly keep beating me and beating me up for no reason, and I just couldn't handle it. And then at one point, like when I was in sixth grade, I started cutting to cooperate with my feelings, because like I couldn't find anything else to like make
to
myself
get the pain out.
Yeah.
Deal with the pain. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Cutting would like turn out to be an everyday thing. I would just constantly keep doing it, like nonstop. And I wouldn't do like little marks. I mean, I would do like a lot of them, all over my arms and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And. Yeah, and I've been hospitalized, like, at one of the mental hospitals for 4 times. And my previous hospitalization was, for the fourth time, was in November, like 2 months ago.
This past,
and
yes.
It was, like, 2 days before Thanksgiving when I attempted to commit suicide, strangled myself. And, like, I guess you could say, like, I was, like, dying. And because, like, my face was all red and, well, purple and blue, and I couldn't breathe. And like the staff at school had saved me and everything. They unwrapped the cord around my neck, and like they just took me to the hospital to do some evaluation, like to make sure I was all right and everything. I had damaged my neck, one of the bones in my neck, and then it got better already, but it was all bruised and had marks all over it.
Well, you can heal from your physical wounds, but it sounds like you've been through so much emotionally and mentally. How are you doing now since Thanksgiving? That hasn't been a very long time.
Oh, no, in December, that's when I started to join All My Victims.
But, okay.
And that program has been helping me a lot because I get to finally trust people to be able to tell them what I've been through and how I feel. And without any judging,
right.
Because I would always get judged a lot.
Oh, can you tell us, has anything happened with regard to arresting your stepfather for the abuse?
No, he hasn't been arrested at all. My mom didn't call because she was afraid. But like right now, I don't live with him anymore.
You don't live with him, so. So what's going on with him now? Is he still in the home with your mom?
No, he lives in San Antonio.
I'm sorry, I didn't. Can you say that again?
I don't really have any relationship with my stepfather right now. He lives in San Antonio, and I live here in Houston. So
oh,
I don't really have him.
Right, but he hasn't been brought up on charges, right?
Can you repeat that?
He hasn't been brought up on charges by the police?
No.
You know, that's just so awful. But the most important thing is you. And it sounds like Marilyn and her group have got you on the right track. And I have to tell you that there is nothing in life that is so hurtful that you have to take your life. We can always find someone to reach out to, and as you're seeing, with only 2 months after your suicide attempt, your life is slowly getting back on a better track. And aren't you feeling better that, yes, life is worth living now? Are you feeling that sense right now that there's some hope there?
Yeah.
But you still have a ways to go with that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm working on it.
Well, good. And thank you so much for sharing that very personal information. I know it was very hard, and I'm so glad you're part of No More Victims. Is there somebody else next to you? And Delilah, would you like to jump in here and ask a couple questions?
I'm just sitting here amazed at the stories that these kids are telling. And
I know.
I'm just so thankful that each and every one of them has had the opportunity to become under Marilyn and No More Victims, so that they have that hope in their lives, so that they're given the opportunities that they so well deserve. So I'm going to let the kids keep talking. I do have a couple questions for Marilyn whenever we get to her.
Okay, good. We'll save some questions for Marilyn. Who would like to go next?
Do you want to talk it some more, Crystal? Hold on, we're going to pass it to Crystal.
Okay, Crystal.
Hello?
Hi, Crystal. Welcome to Shattered Lives radio show. How are you?
Fine.
Great. We're so pleased that you joined us. Can you tell us something about yourself, what your life was like a little bit in the past, and what kind of things you're most proud of right now?
I'm working on my anger now with No More Victims.
Okay. Well, how are you working on it? What are you doing?
Like, Mama G talks to me about it. And we write down my problems, and I talk with my family about it, my No More Victims family. And we sit in circles, and we just talk about it, and it makes me feel better when I get it out of my system, when I done told them, when I finally came out and told somebody how I really feel.
Right.
I know that when I go to No More.
Go ahead.
I know when I go to No More Victims that my secret is safe with them, and they wouldn't tell anybody my secret, and I love them.
Well, it sounds like you're in the right place. Before you found No More Victims, what did you used to do because of the anger? Were you being self-destructive, or were you doing other things?
I was fighting.
You were fighting with other people?
Yes, ma'am.
And
I'm not going to prison.
Who is incarcerated? Who is incarcerated in your family? Your dad?
My dad.
I see. And has he been there for a long time?
He been for 9 months. That was me that told you my dad was in jail.
Oh, right.
She's already talked, and she's just sharing
again. That's right. Okay,
yeah.
I remember now. I'm sorry. You know, they all have such unique, I mean, there's a commonality there, Marilyn, in terms of there's so many things that they share, but each one has something unique, and it's just amazing how you kind of, I'm viewing this as almost like sewing together a quilt, because each one has their own personality, their own strengths and talents. And, you know, you're sewing this wonderful quilt, and you're displaying it to the masses and saying, look how wonderful these kids are. Isn't that true?
Absolutely. And they are. And so many of them have never talked before to anyone. And when you got to have a lot of courage to join No More Victims. You don't need to just walk in. You have to get voted in, and you have to answer a series of questions, understand what the rules are, and then the kids make a determination. So there has to be integrity built into the program, and it is, and it's a model that can be anywhere in the country. And being in 5 high schools in Houston, Texas, is I'm so proud because it's been a long journey for that to happen. So we're so excited, and they're major leaders on their campuses now, and the most angriest children are now the ones that's calming the whole campus down by their behavior. And prison is not an option for their lives. They're not going, even though most people have told them they are. Most of their family members are incarcerated. This child now hears something totally different, and they're not doomed to go like they felt they were. These children are going to change the country. They are absolutely amazing. They're brilliant. They know about pain. They know how to reach out to other people. And they want to change their community and their surroundings. And we're creating a nation within our nation of children that will not, they're choosing to not be a part of the criminal justice system. It's a choice because they've already been exposed to it. So they're making an active choice not to be caught in it.
Yeah. What are your specific goals for 2013?
We're really happy to say that our class is now becoming actually a class to get credit beyond just a group. We're actually become, you can get a credit now or half a credit per semester. And we have wonderful, wonderful principals who really understand that when a child is emotionally in pain and physically in pain, that they're not going to learn nearly on the capacity that they could if we address those feelings. So I'm just so happy to see an evolution now of the way we're looking at our children and understanding the impact on a child and their ability to learn. We have to address the whole child. We talk the whole child, but we don't really act upon it. And now I really see that progress beginning. And it's not just high school. We're graduating from college, and it's not just college. It's now getting masters and doctorates. And we're just so excited. But that wasn't my goal. I wanted them to stop hurting, to stop wanting to take their own lives or take someone else's. That was my whole goal. And once they feel better, then they're going to automatically start moving towards goals they never thought they could accomplish. So it naturally comes with healing. And it's happened. It's absolutely happened.
That's tremendous. Are you going into the middle schools at all?
We have been in some of the middle schools. We're trying to... Actually, most of them are after-school or summer programs, and it is just amazing because that age absolutely adapts to this program just like the high school kids. They're they're really no difference. They get it. They understand it. They know the pain is real, and they're brilliant just like our high school children. We just want to get more involved, and we want to be in elementary as well. But we already work with middle and elementary children because the siblings of our high school children are in middle and elementary, and we actually and automatically work with the siblings of all of our children as well. If we feed one child, we have our high school child may have 5 siblings, but we're going to need to take food for all 5 siblings, diapers for every child in the household. So it's never just one child. One child is connected to many. So you still impact across the board every age level, newborn and up.
Wow. Well, I have another question. I'm going to have Delilah come in and maybe ask you some as well. I was listening to a Connecticut public affairs show, and you're very familiar with what happened in our state a couple of weeks ago with Sandy Hook. But in general, they were talking about unless you hear the stories of how people's lives were affected and the pain, we become, or the issues become, nothing but numbers. And so to be able to hear the stories and make changes, that's where the power lies. And isn't that, and when we need to remember so that we don't become complacent, and isn't that doesn't that make a strong case for an organization like No More Victims? You're out there telling the stories, so we're just not talking about numbers and statistics.
Yeah, we tend to only see numbers, and we don't feel the true impact and the true trauma and pain of individuals that have experienced that. And I totally agree with you. That's where it lies, is we have to put, I know people say, well, put faces to the numbers. It's not just faces. We have to put the story, the reality, to the numbers along with the faces, and really understand, and if it was our life that happened to, and it was our family, our children, we have to get on board and get on the same page with all that kind of trauma. We're going to truly change the issues in this country. It can't just be those families, those children, that state. And Devon was referring to that earlier. We've got to go deeper than what we've been going and really feel and have compassion and empathy and then collectively start changing the situations that create the trauma and tragedies that we go through in our country regarding our children and unhealthy adults. And we've got a lot of work to do.
Of course we do. We do, we do. Delilah.
Yeah.
Would you like to chime in here?
Yes, I would. I have a question for Marilyn. The children that you work with, do you work with other so-called throwaway teens or throwaway, what we term throwaway children, which I hate that even thought, that don't have incarcerated parents?
Yes, any child that wants to be a part. The majority of our children, the great, great majority, do have parents in prison or that have been in prison, and grandparents and aunts and uncles and relatives and siblings. But any child, our children always bring more children. And some of our children don't know who their parents are. They were put in CPS custody upon birth. They don't really know the background. But any child that is hurting, they have a place with us. It's just that the great majority of our children is truly of this population. But any child can be a part of our family.
Well, that's good to know. And, you know, I didn't know if it was just specifically for children of incarcerated parents or if the program was open to all children. And I'm very, very happy to hear that. Do the kids, when they come into your program, I'm assuming – you know, you don't have a facility where they live, so they're still living in the household. And how does that always work out?
Well, a lot of them are placed in foster care or live with relatives that are taking care of them. So they're in safe places. They're removed when they're not. We deal with Children's Protective Services continually. I have several foster children that are in the program. So, but they also live within the community. We don't have a facility because they already are placed in the community. So, but we're on it. Well, all we have to do is get an inkling there's a problem, and we start the proceedings.
Well, that's good, too, I think, for the foster care system itself, because I'm sure, you know, you kind of keep an eye out for how that system is working with your kids, so if there's anything going on within the foster home, you're right there to take care of it, so that even would help them feel safer.
Yeah, because they feel comfortable in telling us, and we have gotten involved and have really pushed for children to be removed from foster homes and placed in other foster homes. And you're right, it's kind of a watchful eye, and you just have to be willing to listen at all times and not take anything lightly or for granted, because when they're hurting and finally tell you, we can't dismiss it. We have to get on it. And whatever we have to do, we're in.
Wow. How large is staff, Marilyn? Who helps you?
Well, actually, the older kids are the ones that come back and help. I need probably 10,000 staff. Actually, to tell you the truth, but right now it's really me and the kids, and I have one assistant, but my older kids come back and help with the younger kids, and that was always the plan because they've already lived through it, managed to not become incarcerated, and are on their way. We have 11 married couples within No More Victims that were all part of No More Victims, 22 children that have married each other. We have 11 married couples now.
Did they get their spouse in there? Did they meet their spouse in No More Victims? Did they meet their spouse in No More Victims?
They did. They were in No More Victims. And now we have 11 married couples, and two of them just bought their first homes. So we celebrated that. There was married to a police officer now. Our children have gone on and have wonderful positions in the community. A lot of them want to run for school board. They want to be deputy sanctioned.
Wow. That is tremendous. You know, Marilyn, I was wondering, I know you're more than a one-woman operation, but I mean, when it comes down to brass tacks, you're doing so many things. Can you tell us, if you took a typical day, out of your week, would you be doing, you know, partly dealing with referrals, partly doing public relations and public speaking, partly working one-to-one with kids? What is your typical day or week like?
It is being in the back of an ambulance, going to emergency rooms, being in hospitals, testifying in court for sexual assault cases when you're that first, you're the outcry person. It's going to sometimes 3 to 4 schools in one day, but doing that every week around the city. And Houston is huge, so it's all over the city. It's delivering diapers, delivering food, talking to doctors, getting medical information. It's nonstop. It's on call 24 hours, but we managed to do it and to pull it off. I need a lot of help. I need a lot of money. I need a lot of staff. But until all that comes, you have to wear about 50,000 hats. And chief cook, bottle washer, diaper changer, all the above.
Wow, yeah, that's tremendous. We've got about 8 minutes left to the show and whatnot, but so I'm wondering, I know that people can always, you know, like you said, you can use money. What are some things that our audience can do with regard to supporting you, even passing on the message? I mean, you're in Houston and you're trying to expand throughout the country, but if someone wanted to call you from Alaska and say, I have this kid that needs help, what would you do if they called you from Alaska?
Well, we do get those calls, and we've even voted children in New Jersey and all across the country that have called us after they saw our Lifetime movie. And on Secret Millionaire, children have contacted us asking us to come to their schools because they were so worried about the violence and their friends getting hurt. And when we're called, first we want to be sure, and we'll look up as well through the Internet, resources in their immediate community. And usually they've already tried all those resources, and we totally relate to that too. But the power comes from children talking to children. Children trust children. And our children have a lot of skills now in how to cope and how to communicate. And that's what's really beautiful, is to see them take the phone or we Skype, and they're able to work with children all around the world, actually. We've heard from 15 countries as well.
Wow, that is hugely powerful. And, yeah, when you talk from peer to peer, and they've gone through the same thing, and it goes for any kind of situation, whether it be, you know, like I say, sexual assault, homicide, whatever, it's so powerful to be able to relate to somebody else who's gone through that situation. You're right. You're right. You're right. Can you tell us? Go ahead, Delilah.
I was just going to ask, where does your funding come from? And I'm sure you take donations, and can you lead our audience to your website or a place where, you know, someone can make donations to your organization, they can do that?
Yeah. Absolutely. Our website is nomorevictimsinc.global.org. We have PayPal through our website, and people can make donations online, or they can mail them to us. Our address is on the website. Certainly call us. We never have enough of anything. Whatever you need for our maybe 2,000 families, you never have enough Band-Aids or cereal, diapers, you name it. So, but they can certainly make donations online, or they can mail donations in. We would appreciate any and all support. We just received a whole beautiful box of brand-new stuffed animals for our children that was sent to us from someone out of Missouri. That was really moved and just sent this beautiful stuffed animal. So all the kids have gotten to pick which one they want, and it's so sweet just to get nice, loving things in the mail as a gift. So anything and everything is important.
That's tremendous. Is Devon still on the line?
I am.
Hi. I just wanted to know if you had, we've got about 5 minutes left of the show, if you had some parting comments that you would like to make with, I'm sure you kind of serve as a leader to younger kids in this group, and what is it that you like to do if you have the opportunity to work with other kids that are coming up through the organization in terms of leadership?
I think it's just important to let people know. I think it's regardless of whether, you know, if I'm working specifically with No More Victims for children who have parents incarcerated, but I also do mentoring outside of that. And I think it's important to let our children know that whoever they are, regardless of what they have went through, that they do have a voice and that their story is powerful. And so oftentimes when I'm in that mentoring mode, with children, I let them know that, you know, or just try to help them to turn their narratives and turn their stories into something positive, into a narrative that shows how they can overcome and that obstacles that you know, regardless of the obstacles that they face, they're still pushing and thriving to overcome. And we all can do that. And just letting them know that, you know, they're worth listening to. And I think that's Ms. Gambrell's thing as well. I mean, that they have a story and that somebody loves you. And you, most importantly, you have to love yourself.
Right. Oh, yes, that's so true. And you're absolutely right. Now, this last question, I'm just asking you from your personal standpoint, because everyone has a different take on this. With the events that we had in this state, and there's no one particular answer with regard to mass violence. Do you think that legislation with regard to gun control or mental health issues or other things, what would be the most effective in your opinion, dealing with this broad issue and coming from the perspective that you do, Devon? Is there one thing that you think that people might be overlooking that you think is important?
I think that there are many things that could be said about, like, what we may be overlooking. For example, poverty, for example, racial disparities, geographical spaces, like, of where these type of things occur. But I think that the more important thing and bit that I want to say on this is that, placing stricter gun law, placing lesser gun laws and placing guns into the hands of our teachers and people who engage in the community, who engage in communities where children are present, is definitely definitely a red flag, because what happens is, you know, the children who may receive the brunt of, like, the actions that may occur from arming our teachers, or children in poor communities and communities of color, where we see these actions being implemented in the worst kind of way. Mm-hmm. And so it's important that we don't jump to any irrational conclusions about these sort of isolated events.
Or quick fixes, yes.
Yes, because these mass shootings are just these kind of isolated events.
Right. I just recently learned that the laws that they formed in at the New York State, they never even had any public hearings for anyone to do anything. It was just bam, 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 and they made the laws without any input, and now there's going to be, I think, a big backlash. So, you are the experts, and we're so proud that you all were here. I want us to keep in touch, and maybe, again, we can have another show in another few months, because you're part of our Shattered Lives family now. And so, again, I want to thank all of you. Marilyn, thank you so much. You bring on such impressive guests, and we applaud you, and we're going to continue to support and promote your organization as much as we can. And for everyone else, please do stay tuned for Shattered Lives next Saturday. Thank you for being with me. It's an honor to have this show. Delilah, thank you again, and we'll see you next Saturday.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye, everyone.